Al, you gonna be smart about this?
Gotta get in there before something happens to his sister.
We could wait till the people that are after him are not in there.
We don't know when that's gonna be.
You need to be in there now. That is about his sister, right? It's not about just chasing a story.
How can you even ask me that question? Fair. Look, it's not about a story.
Welcome to Fear Me.
Hi, I'm Kim.
Stuart.
And Scott.
Welcome to the Fear Me podcast. This is episode 156.
156. How are you, Kim?
I am very good. How are you?
Oh, lovely. Just lovely. Have you got your brain back?
Yes, I do.
Yes. We actually, we got one overnighted from Amazon. It was not that expensive, really.
Really?
It was a little bit of damage. Really?
What kind of... You know, is there a warranty on this thing?
It was a monkey brain.
Warranty? No, not necessarily.
What was the name on the box? Was it Abby?
Abby Normal.
Yes, I am feeling 100% better, except that my throat is scratchy now.
Mm-hmm. Which it wasn't actually like 10 minutes ago.
No, it wasn't. But I think the podcast is doing it to me. But yeah, I feel a lot better. So,
Scott, how are you doing this week, man?
Haven't yelled at anybody. That's good. Got in a fight with the pizza guy.
Cool.
That was fun.
That's always good.
We got in a fight with the guy at the dog park. We're having all kinds of stuff going on at the dog park.
That was fun, too.
Nice. You guys in your dog park, you need to stay away from there.
Dog park is an evil place.
There is, yeah.
There's lots of negative energy.
There's some drama at the dog park. I tell you what. There was like an actual almost physical fight. Because this one guy, like stood off in the corner.
7:30 in the morning.
Let his dog like go like at like some other dog, and the dog was like attacking the other dog.
He was humping him.
Well, he was aggressively humping the dog, and this woman whose dog it was like the dog was 14 or 15 years old, and she was like, "Oh, get your dog off my dog! Get your dog off my dog!" And the guy's like, "It's a dog park. That's what happens." And everybody's like, "No, come over here and help out a little bit." And he's like, "Why? Why do I need to do anything?" So it was like total attitude, like from the start. So
yeah, so dude, you need to leave the dog park before
we jump your ass.
Yeah,
it was mauled.
Sick our dogs.
It was kind of funny, actually. It was kind of funny, even though it was uncomfortable. It was kind of funny.
It was very uncomfortable.
Yeah,
but
did anybody stand up to Dog Tuffy?
Oh yeah, the entire dog park kind of went at that guy,
including Stuart.
Yes,
and Stuart said he thought he was going to hit him.
And did he leave?
Nope. No, he didn't leave. He was he was there to prove his point and stand his ground.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
It was interesting. Interesting way to start the day.
So, you know, we could do a whole podcast on what happens at the dog park.
We could, really.
So
we
much
could.
Drama.
Yeah,
you could.
Dog
but
Park Chronicles.
It actually might be better than Fear of the Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, actually, there was a guy walking at the dog park when we got there with a cane around the dog park.
Okay.
He didn't actually have a dog.
That
and he was by himself, which was another very odd thing at the dog park.
Mm-hmm. That was interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was he aware that it was a dog park?
I mean,
is it
I think
pretty
so.
Obvious
I think
that
so. And people started showing up with dogs, and he left.
Yeah.
Never really found out why he was there, but he
maybe he just found it to be a nice calming park before the dogs got there.
I think so, and maybe. I think he enjoyed the security of being inside a fence, much like many canine friends of ours.
You know, I do have to admit that this whole subject is really starting to bore the hell out of me. So let's move on. All right. So what are you guys drinking tonight?
Okay. Well, we are drinking the SPF 50-50, which I think is actually reacting to Kim's stomach as if she is drinking SPF 30. Not doing so well. This is the Red Hair Brewing Company out of Marietta. And
no, we
Shalote,
like their stuff.
And Shalote, uh-huh. North Carolina.
Yeah.
And
we
this
usually
is,
like their stuff.
Yeah, this is a Radler, grapefruit Radler.
Ah.
And so it's
that
super
can do
sweet.
It to you.
Yeah, it's super sweet. And I don't think Kim's liking it too much.
It's not
very
good.
Acidic.
No?
Yeah.
The grapefruit Radlers can tear up your stomach if you're not careful. Grapefruit, period, can.
I've never been a grapefruit fan.
I've always been a grapefruit fan, but it's not necessarily really good for you. It's bad for your teeth. It's bad for your stomach lining.
Yep.
All kinds of good stuff. And they use actual real grapefruit in the beer. So.
And I think it's super yummy, honestly.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, it's pretty good. I like it. I mean, it's not, I mean, as far as if I want to be drinking a beer.
It's like suntan lotion.
It's like a, I mean, it's like a fruit drink. Yeah, alcoholic
they're
fruit
great
drink.
If it's like really hot outside and you're playing golf or hanging out by the pool or something like that. Yeah. That's when the Radler's really good.
But it's, I mean, it's still like that in Atlanta right now, like 99 degrees today.
Yes.
But
I was here too.
I do not want to drink that ever again.
Okay.
They have a tangerine version as well.
That might be better.
Think, but I should have done that. Actually, Lionkugel's Shandy is probably one of the better Radlers around.
I like
Radler and Shandy. Yeah, Shandy's and Radlers, same thing.
What are you drinking?
I am drinking a new one I found from our friends at Wicked Weed up in Asheville called Coastal Love Hazy IPA.
Oh, let me see that one. Oh,
looks like it's right out of the 60s.
Interesting.
Like Atari or something.
I actually almost got a Wicked Weed tonight, which was a sour.
You should have. Oh, not a sour, though.
Yeah, it was super expensive, though. It was like $14 a six-pack.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah, this stuff's not cheap. Really good, though. Really, you know, I think I was saying last time, I'm a little tired of the overly citrusy, sweet, hazy IPAs that they're making now, because they're just, like, going way overboard with the citrus
and
on these things.
One is...
This one's much better.
Okay.
This is much better. It's tame on the citrus side, but still, you know, it's still got enough of the citrusy to let you know it's a hazy IPA, but it's not overwhelming like these other ones. I don't feel like I'm drinking a orange ice cream?
Like a sickle, creamsicle?
Yeah,
creamsicle. Were you about to say armsicle?
I'm gnawing on an armsicle over here.
Only in Walking Dead world.
Just call me part of the Donner Party.
Al almost gave up an armsicle in the pool.
She did.
Totally. Let's talk about that. All right. Episode, let's see, what are we doing? Season 5, episode 14, today and tomorrow. All right, what'd you guys think?
I'm kind of in the middle on this one.
That's where I am as well.
Ambivalent. still a little too much yammering going on.
Yammering.
The whole Morgan thing is really just about to make me want to, well, go and jump in a pool and not come back up again. but I did enjoy, believe it or not, I did enjoy some of the stuff with Daniel and Grace, believe it or not, even though that did tend to drone on a bit. You know, love the tribute to the Traveling Wilburys. Thought that was great. And I'm very intrigued by the Equestrian Club.
Yeah.
But I do have to admit the sassy Southern troublemaker attitude is wearing thin on me a little bit from Ginny. You know,
well, she's playing up the faking it too much, I think.
Well, not only that, but how are you... are you really trying to attract people to your group? Because all you're doing is acting like an asshole. Why would people want to join your group if you're just kind of sassing at them the whole time, you know, and talking, you know, hey, guess what we have? Nah, 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 nah. You know, it's just like, really? That's not going to attract anybody to it. It's like she's trying to sell it, but she doesn't really want them. So
I don't know. Is she really trying to do that, though? Is she really trying to attract people?
Everybody she talks to, she says, join us. It's like a sales pitch on everything.
Yeah, but I think that's I don't know if it's maybe it's overacting it a little bit, but she's trying to make it seem like it's forced because she's not actually a good person.
I think she's
still trying to get people to join though.
Yeah, I know.
I think it's like if you've been out in the world by yourself and this is the only group you come across, it's like, okay, yeah, I need some people company. So yeah, I'll join you.
But she's giving that super sugary sweet kind of attitude, but it's, you completely tell it's way too forced.
Yeah, but I mean, it's definitely like, you should join us because, hey, we got it going on here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think...
in a smart-ass way. I mean,
it gets just... even more smart-ass at the very end when they're walking away and she's like, fine, you can suck on a stone or you can be drinking dirty soup.
Yep. Sipping soup. Exactly. And that's the other thing, too. I'm kind of tired with the writer's need for these goofy sayings all the time.
The colloquialism.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Come on, guys.
That's a tough one for me.
I know.
Colloquialism. Yes. You know what? It is me, too.
I think that we are all just tired.
Hmm.
Because writers from all shows use these little things to attract people. But I think that they use it so much in The Walking Dead and in Fear of the Walking Dead that it just doesn't work anymore.
No, Kim, but it's almost like they're using it in place of real creativity in the story. Mm-hmm. You know, they're making them cartoonish. You know, everybody's going to throw out their little line. I think I had mentioned it a while back about the fact that, like, Happy Days after it jumped the shark, mm-hmm. everybody had a tagline.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't come into a scene without doing your tagline. You know, Richie Cunningham had a tagline. Fonzie had a tagline. You know, Ralph Mouth had a tagline. So it's kind of like that with them. You know, if they don't get a Sarah-ism in there for Sarah scenes, then they don't feel like they've introduced or brought Sarah into the show again. And we're getting the same thing from Jenny. Jenny's got to bring in the cutesy sayings and stuff like that.
But the difference is that they're not all just saying one line. They're all saying like different, like, quote unquote, Southern sayings all the time. And it's like they think that people just talk like that. And people don't talk like that.
We don't.
Like,
no.
Huh?
No.
Constantly in like little sayings? No.
I mean, I feel like my family does.
Really?
Kim,
colder than a witch's titty in January.
Yeah, but do you say that with everything?
No.
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 No, you don't.
You do not. But Sarah does.
And it's always something completely different.
Yeah. I mean, for us, we use stuff like that, but, you know, we're kind of limited in what we use, you know. Oh, kiss my ass. You know, we'll use that over and over again. There's not a whole lot of variations to it.
Kiss my grits? That's a Southernism.
It is a Southernism. I didn't say it was Southern. I just said it was a repeated response.
Frustrating as an armless man playing a banjo.
That being said.
Yes.
I like Jenny.
Yeah. I'm not saying I don't like her. I'm getting a little tired of the draw, but I'm intrigued. It's provocative. I don't know if I like her yet.
Yeah.
You know why I kind of like her? It's because it's such a different. Well, it's not really. Well,
no,
you know,
it's not
when you see her, when you see her on The Boys, her character on The Boys versus her character on this show.
Mm-hmm.
I like her attitude on both of them, whereas on The Boys, she was like this underling who got stepped on all the time.
Right.
And she had to throw her weight around to be seen. But in this show, on Fear, she's in charge and she gets to still throw her weight around and it's more impactful and I really like it.
I do realize.
She's good for that actress.
She's more in charge.
You do realize she's just Negan, right?
I don't care.
This is Negan without all the F-bombs and cruel jokes and stuff like that.
I think that's fine.
Arrogant,
I think that's fine.
Making fun of you and so forth like that.
I'd like to see how evil she can actually be because we've barely scratched the surface with her or that entire group. Like, what are they doing?
I'm just hoping we're not scratching the surface of a character we've already been through.
Well, yeah, but we don't know if she's going to be a farce like Negan turned out to be or is she actually going to be genuinely pretty scary? Like, what are they doing at that complex?
Well, Negan was genuinely pretty scary.
Yeah,
but he made himself not scary.
And Negan was more scary at the start, whereas Jenny is not scary at all at the start.
But see, that's what I like. She gains your trust, even though we don't trust her. But
no one does trust her.
And then she smacks you with it.
I think she was scary from the start.
Seriously?
I don't think she... Yeah, I do. I think that there was an element of her that you immediately did not believe.
Well, okay, when the whole scene where they come up on Logan's group and kill all of them... In the quarry?
Yeah.
Not really, not scary.
Not scary.
But it should be. It totally should be, but it did not work that way at all.
No.
And even with the complex, with Al and Morgan, she's still not scary to me. Like, she lets them go. Why does she let them go? What's the meaning behind that? What does she have in mind for the future? And when are we going to find out, and how are we going to find out how scary she could be?
She could be. She may not be.
But she's also she's showing them at that time, like, I can let you go.
Right. Like, you can trust me.
Well, that. But no, I can let you go. But I can also have control over, like, oh, yeah. All your weapons, too. You can have all that, too.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of showing them that they have no control.
I have control over you. Yeah. You can take what you want because I give you my blessing.
And I can always find you when I need you.
And you notice it. I don't know if you really noticed it in that last scene, but as soon as she, you know, she's all smiles and giggles and shit like that. And then as soon as they turn and leave the gate, she's stone-faced.
That's what I'm saying. Like, she, you know, she almost kind of said, like, why are you still going when I offered you all this? You should
but
be
she
staying.
Is so much, you know, she's so much the witch in the cabin in the woods. I mean, trying to entice you in and so forth with candy and things like that. Yet, you know that the joy and so forth she loves to bring out there is not in her eyes at all.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that she seems more out of control than what you would think Negan would be when you're comparing her to Negan.
No, I disagree with you totally. I think she is totally in control.
Well, she doesn't seem to give that vibe off because she seems very frustrated by dealing with
Jenny?
Them. Yeah. When she's dealing with them, she seems frustrated that they're not falling for what she's playing.
Sure, but I but
almost
Negan
like
the same.
She's not the one in control. I'm
yeah,
still
but
going
Negan
with
had
that.
The same issue.
Still going
See,
with the
I,
fact
I
that she's not
with
the one
you.
In control.
I still feel like she portrays herself as the one in the driver's seat.
Okay, I got one more thing before we get like way into it.
Yeah.
Do you think she was lying when she's giving them the preserves and they ask about the helicopter?
Yes.
No.
You think
I do not at all.
You don't think she was lying?
No, it's two separate groups.
Okay.
But it might not be. And that's where I'm interested. Because of what Al was saying with the whole, you know, we're living for the future thing.
Right.
And the...
What's the other group? The CRM group or something like that?
Yeah, CMR or CRM or something like that.
I don't remember. But the similarities CRM. Between
Why
the two
Why don't you
groups,
remember, Kim?
Because
CRM.
Yeah.
It's the CRM.
Okay.
They're the folks that we think have Rick, right? Yes.
Maybe.
Those are the people that would possibly have Rick. Yes.
Could possibly have Rick, yes.
And what's her name?
Jadis.
And also Al's girlfriend, right? Like, supposedly Al's girlfriend's
yes.
with them.
She works with them.
Yeah, right.
So I think it would be super cool if they are connected and Jenny is actually being controlled by someone else.
So not just cool, super cool.
Super cool, because that's a whole... That is bridging the gap between the two shows and bringing Rick home.
Don't see it. I don't see it at all.
That's what I'm hoping for.
I know. I know what you're saying, but I think the way she laughed at her when she said about the helicopter, you could tell it really caught her by surprise. What, a helicopter? Darling, we just got gas. You know?
I know, but the way she said it, it was like, oh my God, are you kidding? Helicopter? We don't have a helicopter? Oh, have some strawberry jam.
No. I think that was genuine. I think it was like, no, we don't have a helicopter. Are you kidding me?
Because she, I mean, she can't be sarcastic about anything.
They're just the other group. The other group.
Like, you guys
seems,
really make a good entrance.
The other group really seems to be way too military, way too organized, and so forth for these folks.
Yes.
This is your equestrian gun club running around in the countryside with some kind of a society that they're building out there.
Well, I mean, you got Al making the same connection as far as the today and tomorrow.
And
they got the oil fields. They got the oil fields now. And what military group doesn't need oil and gas?
So what you said she gave up on the military. You said she gave up on it. Why did she give up on it?
Which one? I'm sorry.
No, giving up on the today and tomorrow. Yeah, right.
Oh, because Al immediately knew that that was not the same group.
How? No,
when
she didn't.
When did
she said that?
No, she didn't.
She even confirmed it later on. She even confirmed later on, okay, that's not who I thought that was. When she was talking to Morgan at the end.
At the end when he said he was
when
done
he finally
with the filming?
Said he doesn't need to do the filming anymore, yada, yada, yada. She was already talking about the fact that you know, she was talking about this woman she feels for, but now she knows that trail is not the right trail.
Okay. All right.
You're right. She did say, I didn't find what I was looking for.
But not only that, Kim, not only that. that organization with the helicopters and collecting samples and all the other crap that they're doing, they don't need that dinky refinery to get gas.
Why not?
That thing is, that's like somebody did that in their garage. I mean, that thing
You're
is
still
ridiculous.
Upset about the type of refinery and how it,
was it
wasn't.
Lame. It was so lame. Okay.
But it's how many
years into the apocalypse?
Who cares? You're so many years into the apocalypse. Who knows how to run a freaking oil refinery?
Kimmery.
Besides, what's her face?
He's going to talk over you. The interesting thing that Scott doesn't understand is that we can actually cut his voice out when we do the editing.
I know you can.
Go ahead. But
if you know how to build a refinery, you sure as shit know how to run one.
Who built it?
They built it. They put it together.
Our people?
Yes.
No!
Or what's his name did before?
Yeah.
Polar
yes!
Bear. Polar Bear.
Right.
Polar
but
Bear.
So what? But...
And then Polar Bear wrote his notes on how to run it.
If there's one thing that's in Texas, it's oil refineries. All you have to do is get it up and running.
How do you get it up and running?
I don't know. But if you know how to build one, you probably know how to get it up and running.
I know, but he's not there anymore. He's dead.
And they were using the dead to actually pump the oil out of the ground.
Which is very
They could awful. Have used pumps after they got more oil, but then they would be using the oil. To get that oil out of the ground.
It just seems far-fetched to me.
I think Scott's just really upset about the fact that it was a rinky-dinky oil refinery, and he was really still hoping for some major, like, factory running.
I'm not reaching you two tonight, evidently.
Let's agree to disagree.
Well, I have such a headache now.
You need some more pizza.
Yes, I do. All right, so...
Scott, you said you really liked this episode.
Yes. No, I did like aspects of the episode. It wasn't a total bomb like some of them have been. It was funny. I almost texted you guys during the week and I almost was texting you to say, what happened to Cancer Girl? Because I completely forgot about Grace after the last couple of episodes.
I cannot stand Grace.
You can't stand Grace?
I want her to die.
Really?
I disagree.
Well, I think you got your wish on this one.
God, she is the worst character.
I don't think she was
ever.
That bad. I think the interesting thing is that Daniel.
I disagree with you.
Daniel is like a little bit more playful in this episode, and he was last episode too, which actually is kind of refreshing.
That is.
Right. Not bad. I think their conversation with each other when he was on the ground and she was on the roof was a little weird because there was like. Three separate subjects going on, and they were going to dance in between things.
Was that not a great shot with that pebble when he threw it on the roof?
That was pretty good.
Right next to her head. That was a perfect shot. Wow. I'm impressed.
But the things they were talking about were funny, where he's like talking about the Fanta, he's talking about the records, and she's talking about getting more stuff to weigh down their truck.
And
which
what
ends
flavor
up,
is it? I was hoping for grape.
Which ends up actually killing their transmission.
My note during that conversation was, conversation between Daniel and Grace was stupid. She is so annoying.
I'm going to disagree with you.
I don't think she was that annoying.
Listen, hey,
gouge my eyes out.
I actually think she's a pretty good actress, honestly.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. Grace, Lucy.
Yeah, right.
I mean, seriously.
I would take Luciana over Grace.
Oh, my God. That is like one of the worst characters we've had in years.
I know.
She is so boring.
I know. Grace is
Grace
even worse.
Is not.
Daniel was awesome.
Wow, Kim. Man. I guess we'll have to agree to disagree, Kim.
I guess so, Scotty.
We're going to be hearing that a lot tonight, I guess.
I think
oh
so.
My God.
Daniel,
this
though.
This podcast has gotten off to a roaring start.
Daniel, though, I did like him. I liked that he was kind of funny and carefree and loose. Love the fact that he got all those records and, like, that was his... Number one objective when they had to run away from the truck, and that he was so upset when the walkers stepped all over them.
Yeah, and that he's thinking about
Charlie
and so forth, which I thought was kind of cute.
When he was talking to Grace about how he felt so alone until Charlie came into his life, like, pull at my heartstrings,
Daniel.
Well,
he gave
that was
reasoning
amazing.
For why his character changes.
Yes.
Whereas a lot of these changes that we have with the characters we're having to, like, with Morgan... trying
like
to get
pulling
it,
teeth.
Yeah,
to
trying to get it like
from
his facial expressions. Like
I like the way
now he's crazy.
I like
again.
The way I like the way Daniel equated his collecting of music to Charlie's reading of books.
Yeah.
And the fact that, you know, I'm going to bring her something else other than books to her life to enrich her.
To educate her.
You know.
Well, right. Yeah. In the building to the future. We're getting the solar panels to help us build to the future. He said the music needed to be there for the future as well.
Right, and I totally agree. And he had a great selection of music, and it's such a shame it all got wasted.
Yeah.
Now, I will give you this, Kim. The one thing about Grace's character I don't like is the just out of the blue rapid decline.
Yeah.
She went through. Just what like happened? From 1 minute to the next. I mean, I was just
I don't buy that either.
You know, if they had shown her, you know, she was in super great mood to start off the episode and everything, and then in the end, she's dying.
Well, she may have had some of this SPF 50/50 and just got really gassy.
Totally.
she had the scoots. Grace has the scoots.
Doing the green apple jig all the way to the bathroom.
Ew.
Could have been. I don't know.
Good night, everybody. We've been great. All right. Okay.
You can't follow can you?
So what did you think of the homeowners association guy?
Loved him. He was another breath of fresh air for me. He reminded me of a guy. I'm going to butcher this description right here.
He reminds me of that Lodge 50. Was it Lodge 54?
Yes.
Guy?
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what I was thinking of, but I couldn't remember the name of the show. But yeah, that's what he reminds me of. He was funny.
He's kind of the Jeff Bridges slacker.
Yes.
Yeah, but I love the fact that
he's like, I only got the position because no one ran against me.
Yeah.
He's a big guy though. When you see him on the back of the truck,
he's Lombowski without the arrogance.
When you see him sitting on the back of the truck compared to Morgan and Al, that's a big guy.
It is a big fella.
But they position the camera so it never looks like that. He always seems like the smaller kind of guy. But
I liked his character because he seemed so real and genuine, whereas the other characters, like we've already said, don't. Mm-hmm.
But did he ever like actually describe why they were after him specifically?
No.
Yes, because. Well, yeah, because they said he was.
Oh, right.
He
because things started going bad in their community, and he represented. They blamed him for the things going bad, so they didn't want him around anymore. So they were going to kill him.
So was his sister actually the one that Wes saved?
I think so. I think that's what we're supposed to. I think that's the conclusion we're supposed to draw.
Who did Wes save?
Wes saved the girl at the end of the last episode when she. Was it last episode or was the episode
before?
Yeah, when
she was in the
SPF
the feed
poster
store.
When Logan gets killed.
Feed store. Yeah. Well, I think that's what we're supposed to.
She's trying to get away from somebody.
Right. She was on the run.
She was on the run from a group.
Put that together.
And then Logan saves her, sort of, because he tells her to get the gun with the one bullet, and then Wes actually comes in and saves her.
Right.
But
I did
they
not
never,
put that together.
So when they go up to save her in the apartment complex.
Long-haired hippie guy.
Yeah, there's that guy that's in the closet.
Right.
And that guy's there because she left a booby trap.
Right.
Okay.
And he got killed when he came up after.
That's cool. So, the question begs to be answered, what are they running from, really? Like, what are they going to do to these people if they catch them?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it's all a big speculation as to what these people represent.
Yeah.
I, you know, if...
How bad are they, Scott?
My first inclination is to believe that maybe they're using slave labor to build their society.
Sure.
They're getting what they want. They're rebuilding society, but not in a way that these people will like.
Yeah.
And to me, it kind of infers a little bit that they've enslaved people to do stuff. So they incorporate you into their program, but then you're only allowed to stay as long as you're useful, and that's why they killed off Logan and his people.
Okay. I mean, that totally makes sense.
I mean, it's pure speculation. There's no, you know, I don't know, but I'm just saying that's kind of the only conclusion I can draw from. Otherwise, everything else it's wide open, though, so what these folks are.
So I had a couple of questions too, though, about Al immediately just starts videotaping this poor guy and interviewing him right off the bat.
Yeah, like, what are you doing this for?
Yeah, and like Morgan is even like, is this really important right now? Do we really need to be doing this? Because I'm like, no, probably not.
And you know, actually before that, when they're actually in the van and they close the door, which they're slamming the fucking door when these people are coming up on horseback.
True.
Right, right.
And then she's holding the camera up, and Morgan's looking at her, and the only thing I could think going through his head was like, would you put the freaking camera down?
Seriously.
Right. Well, he also says that to her when she talks about going in. He's just like, you know this is about a story, right?
Yeah, this is not about a news story. Yeah,
this is not about a news story. This is rescuing somebody.
Yep.
You know, because she is out of control with the shit.
And she thinks gas cap. That's what's going to set him off as the gas cap.
She is an obsessed collector.
Yep.
She certainly is.
She is doing nothing but collecting stories, and that's all that's in her head.
Mm-hmm.
Collecting more and more stories. We don't know if there's anybody who will ever see him. But that's what she's going to do. She's going to document everything. She'll go out on the end of the ramp over the shark-infested waters just to get the damn story.
The interesting thing I thought about, though, when she was actually filming, when you're seeing it through her filming...
Viewfinder.
Is that everything's almost... It's a little oversaturated, but closer to normal.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas everything that they're like their world is almost kind of dingy and desaturated.
Yes, I noticed that.
But when you see it, when you see it
through the viewfinder, it's almost like this is what the reality looks like is through the viewfinder, right?
Rose colored glasses. Yes, yes, I noticed that too. That's like the world that they want to live. Like they want to.
Well, it's like when Morgan's looking at what he said.
About his family?
About himself. Well, yeah, about his family. But he's watching it.
Mm-hmm.
Because when he says it, it doesn't have the same meaning as when he's seeing what he's saying.
Right.
You know? It doesn't actually strike him until he sees what he's saying. Yeah, it causes him
to reflect a little bit. But then he has his, Jesus comes to me moment later in the thing.
Come to Jesus moment?
Thank you, that one too. And when he's just like, oh.
You are not a true Southerner.
No. I got Northern blood in me.
Jesus brought me porridge moment.
Yeah. Jesus buys a car moment. Where he just is all of a sudden like, okay, we don't need to do this anymore. I'm good. Yep. I figured it out. Thank you.
Yep.
Let's move on.
Did you not like that or?
No, I thought it was hilarious actually.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
I thought his facial expression was good.
Yeah, it was. What was just that? It was that. Away. You know what? I've been screwing up this whole time. I've been living in the past the whole time.
Right.
It's a little annoying because you're like, okay, how many times has he actually broken out of that same, that bubble?
But I almost at the same time started laughing because I was like, we probably put in 5 hours on this guy's dilemma, and then all of a sudden it's like, okay, I'm good. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I did think it was funny the way he put that. He goes, okay, I'm good.
I didn't mind the filming at the beginning. I kind of enjoyed him kind of going through that transition of stuff. But I don't think it actually really had to happen. In fact, there was a lot of things in this episode that I felt were like that. Were like, I don't know it really moved the story along at all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, Stu, when the episode started and it was Morgan on film.
Well, of course, you're going to shut off.
I had an internal groan going, oh, God.
I know.
We're going to have another episode of this. Oh. No. No.
You know what's funny is the more we talk about this episode, the more I like it.
Mm-hmm.
We have so much to talk about. I think
you're actually sucking the joy out of Scott.
And into myself.
Into yourself, yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's actually, the more we talk about it, he's like, oh, my God.
Now I just want to go walk into a field and shoot myself.
No. Mm-hmm. No.
I want to go off and join the Communist Party now. Damn it.
Can I ask?
Gotta find him.
Can I ask another question that I...
I'll go talk to Bernie.
Another question about an observation that I made. When they were inside, what was it called? Paradise Ridge.
Yeah.
And Morgan walks past the horses that are in the stables. And he stops and he looks at that one horse and he starts petting it. It's like he had a moment. With that horse.
Yeah, I didn't quite understand what that was supposed to be.
Do you think that was like a reflection of his past life as well with Rick and those guys, with the kingdom?
I didn't draw that conclusion Morgan? From it.
Yeah.
I think it's trying to show Morgan's in touch with everything. Honestly. I mean, it's like this, like, you know, Morgan, you always get this thing, this vibe they're
Morgan
trying to push.
Morgan is an elemental force.
Yeah, they're always trying to push this thing with Morgan being, like, in touch with everything and balanced.
You know, he's actually
and all this
kind
of stuff. But he's, like, the most imbalanced character in the show. Right. He's all
you know,
the
he's actually
place.
Remade every autumn out of leaves.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I, Kim, I didn't know what to make of that, to tell you the truth. I kind of just, whatever. I don't know. Now, the one that left me scratching my head touching. A lot, too, is maybe you guys could explain it to me. Why in the hell do they keep dragging all the dead people into the condos?
Thank you. I was wondering the same thing.
Why not
thing?
Drag them off into the woods and get them out of the way or something? Why are you taking them inside?
Them. Because it would, like...
Well, they were clearing the dead. That was the thing that the point that they made. They were clearing the dead. Mm-hmm. That's why Al was waiting for a dead person to go walking up there so that she can sneak in the gate. Because
yes.
She knew they would clear the dead.
Right.
But why are you dragging it inside?
But if they left them there, they would camouflage Paradise Ridge. So why not just leave them?
Well, I mean, they
but
always
they already
clean
showed
up.
That they weren't going to do that.
They always clean up dead in the show, but the fact that, they're pulling them into the gate, it didn't make any sense to me either.
Well, it might have something to do with why people are so afraid of them. Maybe they're doing something with the bodies.
It could be that, right. I mean, they could be, you know, burning the bodies in there and all, but you kind of give yourself away with a lot of smoke if you're doing that.
The other question I had is, what's the guy's name that's supposedly the HOA head? Do we know? I don't know his name. Okay. Anyways, it was funny because when he's talking
Tom.
About...
Tom.
Such when a benign name.
When he's talking about how they survived, he's like, well, we had the pool, we filtered water, and of course we had security. And so when they had the guy cleaning the dead, I was like, is that guy still think he's on duty?
He's got a dingy badge.
So that's the security guy is just like,
yeah,
he's still,
never left.
He's like,
his name is Tony.
The pool
Tony.
Scene.
You're here for the pool party?
Pool scene was amazing, y'all. Don't you think? When.
Did Al ever get her knife back?
I don't think so. No. But that was a really tense moment for me. That was like one of the first tense moments I've had in a very long time. But when he was going for her neck, like if I was sure she was goner.
No, it was a cool. That was probably one of the cooler scenes out of the whole episode.
That one was like scary. Like, holy shit, Al's gone. Like, there's no way she's coming back from this. And then when he actually stabbed him and the blood starts flowering out of his body into the water, I was like, oh my God, y'all need to get out of the pool quick. Because you're going to get contaminated.
My only problem was when I was watching that scene and Al gets pushed in, was that I was like, shit, Morgan's the one that caused this.
I know.
Because he pushed the guy off the ledge in the first place.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Yes. They should have communicated
better. How could
better.
Morgan know that, though? Okay.
I don't know. Morgan's
he
always...
is good at throwing. He is good at getting people
I'm
in
telling
trouble.
You, he's not in balance, though. He's throwing everything out of balance. He's
that's when I
like
Jenny, when she was like, y'all sure knew how to make an entrance.
Yeah.
Was perfect.
Exactly.
It was so
well,
perfect.
We got the generator working again. Look at all this light. So on that note, we'll go ahead and take a break. And then we will be back in a minute.
Well, it's all right. Riding around in the breeze. Well, it's all right. If you live the life you please. Well, it's all right. Doing the best you can.
Yeah, you know, we're back. Hey, hit or miss.
Hit me.
We're going to do our hit or miss.
Okay, I'll do my hit. Oh, you want to go first? Go ahead. Go ahead, Stewie. Go ahead.
We'll let Mopey Stu do it. Come on, Stewie.
No, it's all right. I'll take sloppy seconds. Kim, go.
Okay, fine. So, my hit is something that we haven't actually talked about yet, and that was Al finding all the information, the super secret information in the room at Paradise Ridge with
the
maps,
the map and so forth.
With the keys, like what the hell is the key thing?
Oh, yeah, she's got all the skeleton keys.
I tried to freeze the map to see if I could get something off of it that was useful, but there was nothing.
But she has, and she wears the key.
Yeah, Jenny.
She does wear the key.
Something about the keys.
Jenny looks like a Girl Scout leader when she's wearing that thing.
She does. And it's almost like she's it's her way of marking territories that they own or something.
No, it's like they just came off of the outback in Australia, that bunch. Where'd they get those outfits from?
Yeah. Girl Scouts, again, probably Girl Scouts. The Girl Scouts, yeah.
Yeah, true. Oof. So, I find that fascinating because it makes me super excited for what's to come. And I haven't had that sort of excitement for this show in a very long time. So, bring it.
But, I mean, you know, it's marking the different settlements that they have. So, it's kind of, it is opening up that
other world. There's evidently a community of settlements out there. So, we don't know the size of them, the variety or range. But it does evidently show us that it ranges across a good portion of Texas.
Yes.
But I couldn't make reference to the big city that they had circled in there to figure out where that was.
I also thought that it was really cool that Jenny offered Morgan a head doctor to get over his past.
Yep, yep. Yeah, I did think that was actually interesting that they did talk about the psychiatrist, or not quite psychiatrist, that goes around from community to community helping people deal with their psychological issues.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like Jenny might need that.
Might what? Might need it? Yeah.
I think she's got her shit together.
She looks a bit crazy.
She's cleaner than most.
She's a bit crazy.
Wow.
She stuck her finger in the jam.
Crazy
you don't stick
is
your finger
in the
jam. Because, I mean, otherwise,
Stew,
you're eating that whole
is
thing
in the
jam.
Eye of the beholder. You
this
know?
Is true. You've
contaminated
crazy
is relative.
All right,
crazy
well,
is
Stuart,
relative in this
what's
world.
What's your...
No, I want to do mine. No. Stuart needs to go last.
No. That's rude. Because
he sucks.
I'm cutting him out completely. You're cutting... You're out. Cutting you out.
All right, fine.
Go ahead, Stuart. What's your hit?
Go, Stewie.
My hit, and Scott, I think you're going to enjoy this.
Nice.
When Morgan says, I think I'm good, and said, I'm done with the interviews. Because honestly, I was done with the interviews as well.
Yes.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Exactly.
I'm glad
he
moves on, and I hope he actually does.
Right, exactly. I just loved his face when he said it. Okay, I'm good.
Yeah, no, he was like, I don't need to do this anymore. I'm done. I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah, and the fact that Al didn't press him, she was just kind of like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and she just kind of like started packing up the truck, like,
yeah,
no big deal.
She realized that he had made that connection of some sort. Yeah, I agree. My hit was the Wilburys tribute.
Okay.
Huge Wilburys fan, and Daniel does a passable Roy Orbison.
Yes, he does, and Grace was pretty good, too.
Yep.
Surprisingly, since she only took a few lessons in high school.
Exactly. That did crack me up.
Yeah.
I took a few lessons when I was a kid. I'm like, oh, wow, you can play the Wilburys?
Yeah.
Nice.
She picked it up real fast.
I'm going to have to skip you on the miss real quick. Sorry.
Wait. Oh, yeah. Okay, go ahead.
My miss was the Traveling Wilburys tribute.
Really?
Yeah. I thought it was super cheesy. Like, really, like you know, they needed, like, an audience there clapping. Kind of cheesy.
Well, it was the show's way of getting Daniel to sing.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. It just seemed
Since
really...
Since he's a superstar.
I like the Traveling Wilburys. I really do. And then when she was singing, it was fine. And then he kind of chimed in. I was like, wow, this is... I don't know. This is really cheesy to me.
I didn't take it that way. Okay. I like that song. I like the fact that they thought to play that song.
I like the song, too.
You should play that.
I know, but it seemed like a Christmas tribute kind of thing.
Christmas tribute.
You know, it was like, I don't know, Emmett Otter's Jugtown Band.
Okay. All right.
I liked Emmett Otter.
All right.
But that's my opinion.
Yep, that's
And
good.
Scott says...
Everybody's got one. What's your miss, Scott?
No, you were going to say...
Kim's going to do your miss.
No, I thought you were going to say that we will disagree. We agree to disagree.
I'm just not even paying attention to what you just said. Let's just move on.
So my miss is everything Grace. I can't stand her. I hope she dies.
See, I don't agree on that.
Bye-bye.
Well, you probably have your wish.
I hope
and
so.
I don't understand what your thing is with Grace, because I don't think...
She's a horrible character.
Okay, well, if you don't like the character, that's fine. But the actress,
I think the actress is pretty bad too.
Really? Do you think that, Scott? Do you think she's bad?
No, I think she's very good.
I agree
with Kim in some respects. I don't think the character's that interesting, but I think the actress does a good job with it. And
the character is kind of a band-aid, kind of a patch. Like, not really she's a nice important character to the story. Something to possibly pull Morgan out of his mental state, and that's it, which is unfortunate.
In all seriousness, I mean, that's what I was saying earlier when I was saying the fact that I almost texted you guys to say, hey, what happened to Radiation Girl? I had almost forgotten about her. And she was on death's bed last time we saw her. So, you know, she's not going to make a huge impression. But I certainly didn't have a problem with her. I mean, I've got other characters that annoy me a hell of a lot more than she does.
Well, I mean, she's driving Morgan away out of his own guilt of his family. And yet he's the one freaking out at the apartment complex because he thinks he killed everybody because he's trying to stay away from her.
Right.
Because he actually has feelings for her.
Yeah, and I totally didn't get that. What the hell was that about? Talk about a guilt complex. What is he, Catholic? I mean, Jesus Christ.
He could be.
Oh, they're all gone because of me, because I didn't go back. Really? You're going to stop everybody, Morgan?
Yeah.
Ooh, someone's got a big ego. You and your half stick are going to take everybody out? Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I thought that was kind of a stupid comment to make, to tell you the truth. And, stupid way of thinking he went down.
Well, they didn't necessarily have to have that whole thing happening to drive him out of dealing with the past all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But that's what they were trying to do. I mean, even when he finally says, I'm done dealing with the past. Or that's what I'm doing is the same thing as what Ginny was doing.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't need to be around his feelings for Grace, because it didn't feel like that.
Well, not only that, Stuart. I mean, this guy in that statement is saying that this community cannot survive without me. Yet at the same time, he keeps leaving because he doesn't think people need him.
Yeah,
I'm not helping. I'm going to leave. Now all of a sudden, he thinks that had he stuck around, they would have been saved.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, that was silly. Just stupid.
Yep.
Didn't buy that one.
Okay.
Didn't buy that one.
So we're out of misses? We're out of hits?
I never did my miss.
Okay, oh, you
did?
There go you ahead. Go.
All right. Come you on. Sounded like you were doing it. You like, kind of took
I
over.
I was replying to the misses that you guys stated.
Well, see, you seem very passionate about that miss, so I figured that was it.
This miss? No, I felt pretty strongly about this miss.
Okay.
I have a real problem with Kim's attitude towards Grace. I think that's a big miss.
I don't think that was your actual miss.
No.
Okay.
It wasn't.
All right.
No, it wasn't, but that was one I came up with just now.
Talk about pulling teeth,
no,
people.
my miss was the, I mean, I'm just, God, Morgan, stop talking about your wife and child.
But he is stopping now. Like,
he
he's
is
over
stopping
it
now. But as soon as I saw it at the beginning of the episode, I was just like, I got to get my teeth out again.
Well, they
damn
heard
it
you.
Yes.
And they're over
no,
it.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Your
we'll
teeth
see
come out?
It's like pulling teeth.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Okay.
Sitting through that.
Can I say one more hit? Or an honorable mention?
Oh, well, you waited till the end. That's fine. It's okay. You waited.
Really?
When
are we allowing
well,
this?
No, normally she like throws one or two or three out before we can even say anything. So if
right,
we're going to wait
we're just
till
guess we're just going to change the rules as we go.
Another nice thing that Jenny did was she had the woodworker work on Morgan's stick.
Right, I already talked about that.
You did?
Yes.
I remember.
I even said that Morgan sincerely said thank you.
I don't remember that.
We did actually discuss that.
Oh, I
but that's okay if it's your hit. If you want to bring that up, then that's fine.
Okay, well, I thought that was pretty awesome. Okay. And he was sincere. Okay, thank you.
I have one more miss.
Moving on. What?
If we can talk about it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Scott's attitude.
Okay.
It's Scott's attitude. I think he needs to change his attitude a little bit.
That's
blah,
never
blah, 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 oh, blah.
His love of the cheesy scene.
Oh, are you going to do... You're going to do that one on. Okay.
It's always my favorite stuff.
Good. At the end of this episode, Scott and I are going to sing some Traveling Wilburys, by the way.
Yes,
and Scott's also going
to...
Scott had some guitar in grade school, so he should be able to play Traveling Wilburys with no
problem.
I
was actually going to be playing the Immigrant Song from Van Halen.
Oh, okay. You should just pick that tune.
Come on, it's not Van Halen, you dumbass.
I'm sure you know.
I don't know what the Immigrant Song
is. I'm sure you know the chords like right away.
You don't know the Immigrant Song from Led Zeppelin?
No.
Dun, 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 dun,
oh, I didn't
dun,
know that was an Immigrant Song.
Do you want to make any references about Chicago or Boston or any other bands that we don't listen to?
No, but I would like to get back to talking about...
listener comments.
Listener comments.
Yes, them too. Kim, do we have any listener comments?
We do. Cash Cooper at Cash Coop said, filler episode, this isn't Lost. Give us answers, not more questions. Thumbs down. Well, it kind of is Lost. Like, it is actually Lost.
It's kind of Lost. It's like a boat without a captain.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I agree, Cash. Molly Z at Zeminski 6 said, Hidden Evil, worse than Logan. Well, it's not hard to be worse than Logan anymore because Logan's dead. God rest his soul.
Well, Logan, I mean, yeah, Logan was just replaced by Jimmy.
I did like that, though, when she said, your friends are fine unless Logan was considered a friend, and then it's my condolences.
Yes, that was a good line.
That was a good line.
David Valentine off of Twitter said, the quality of this show is so bad, we don't even get Fear the Walking Dead with it. Have you guys noticed? Honestly, the show needs to go away. It harms the brand more than anything.
And yet, here we all are watching it still.
Yeah. Well, no. We are because we do a podcast on it. I honestly do not think I would still be watching it had we not been doing a podcast about it.
Agreed. Although I did like this episode.
It was okay. But, I mean, seriously, this is not a show I would have stuck with. I hate to say it. Preacher, yes. Preacher, I'm enjoying a lot.
Preacher, I wish we were actually podcasting about Preacher right now.
Hell, I'm still struggling hanging into The Walking Dead, period.
I'm not. I'm still excited about The Walking Dead. I'm still excited about Walker Stalker coming up in October, although not as excited as I have been in years past.
Man, there's actually even a comment on Forbes.com actually had an article about Fear. And the lead comment is, AMC needs to wake up to how terrible Fear the Walking Dead has become and make some big changes.
Wow.
That guy in Forbes, he does not like The Walking Dead, period.
Oh, really?
He's been ripping on The Walking Dead itself for a long time.
Okay.
I've been listening to him, or reading him ripping on that since back in the, what's it on the back of your, on the phone there, Stu,
Terminus.
In the back?
Terminus. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not real, but he has, you know, from what I've read of his reviews about this season, though, he has been on point.
Huh.
His criticisms.
Well, he says AMC is absolutely going to milk the Walking Dead universe for all it's worth.
Of course
they are. The flagship show will run for many years, which I don't know about that.
I don't think so.
Slowly shedding its veteran cast while picking up new characters. Yeah.
AMC has to, you know, they're at the point right now where they have to reinvent themselves. They got through, they milked the Breaking Bad stuff as much as they could. Now they're milking, they've milked the Walking Dead because that's what got them off the ground.
Right.
But now they got to move on to something else.
Yeah, but now they're coming out with a whole new series spinoff.
Yeah.
I am not even excited
milking,
about that.
That is, again, milking the Walking Dead universe.
And the movies, I'm not even excited about the movies. I'll go watch them.
Yeah.
But I can't say that I'm super excited about it.
No. No, because it's just going to be Rick with a bunch of other new characters. I mean.
Well, Kim, I think you need to stop doing this podcast then.
No, we've only got a couple more episodes.
And then what?
Well, you stand know, the it to the end.
It, though, the thing about it, though, this podcast.
They can't keep getting away with this.
This podcast was started when we started watching Fear the Walking Dead because it was a brand new show. Everybody and their mother had a podcast on The Walking Dead, and we wanted to find a little bit of a niche. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, now we're on. Now we have listeners, yada, yada, yada. We can talk about other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, we will continue doing The Walking Dead until it dies, I'm sure.
You know what's interesting is the only character on this show now.
Mm-hmm.
Is our least liked character from the very start of this series.
Morgan.
No.
No.
Oh,
Alicia. We hated Alicia. We're like, what the hell is the point of Alicia?
Yeah, and we've gone back and forth with her. She was terrible. She was the bratty punk. And then...
Pratty know-it-all, yeah.
Right. And then she became the character that that could replace her mom.
Yeah.
And I really started liking the character.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, she got dumped into the back scene again.
Yep.
You know, I mean... Now
they
she
tried
just
to make her
around.
Crazy like her brother.
Yeah, well, they tried to make her crazy like Morgan.
Yeah.
You know, it's she's clearing all the time now.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's a pacifist, won't kill anything, and, you know,
yeah,
she's
I think,
silly stuff.
I honestly do, and I agree with you, I think that, like, you make the comparison between Jenny and Negan. I think, I think the showrunners for Fear the Walking Dead are looking at what they see as what a successful recipe is mm-hmm. for what was working with The Walking Dead, and they're picking right. and choosing what they think they can add to this show, or in how they can drive the characters in this show to try and make it right. The Walking Dead. And mm-hmm. I
which is a shame.
Unfortunately, I think it's a shame because I think the people that were excited about this show being a standalone thing were like, it has room to grow. It has, I mean, even from the very beginning, we were like, right. it has parts of stories that we didn't get to
huge
hear.
Huge potential. Right. Yeah. We got huge potential. And then, and the one selling piece they had is they would show you the end of the world when it began.
Yep.
Right.
And then they skipped over most of it.
Yeah, which right. was very frustrating to us. But they were able in the last year to, I think, kind of, you know, bring the audience back by actually doing some right. smart things. And now this year, it really does seem like, okay, well, we're just going to have a one-for-one right. switch out for whatever yeah. characters are in The Walking Dead. And we're going to make them in the Fear of the Walking Dead. And because that was successful, people are going to come back to this and be like, oh, yeah, I can relate to that.
Mm-hmm.
But we had finally seen a season that we liked. They had somewhat reinvented themselves. We hated seeing Maddie go. And the show had taken on an interesting turn last season.
And, I don't know if we actually did miss Maddie.
No, I didn't.
I still don't.
I did in the end. In the end. I thought she was getting to be a really interesting, powerful character in the end.
Mm. But nope. Bye. Good riddance.
But the fact is that last season had started, we had all raved about last season and the reinvention of the show.
True.
And how things are going. And then this season, they pushed all the main characters to the back burner.
Yeah.
I mean, all of them. And it reintroduced a whole bunch of characters that we like. Don't get me wrong. We like John. At first, we like June. June makes me want to gag now. But, you know, we like several of these new characters. But they're starting to do that Walking Dead thing where you just introduce new characters thinking that that's going to instill some kind of interest mm-hmm. instead of developing the characters further. So they throw the existing characters that they didn't know what to do with in the background and bring in new characters, and those new mm-hmm. characters are taking us nowhere in a circle.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, and then you throw Morgan in there.
It's so
really
like,
was a good secondary character on the other show.
It's kind of like being on the beach. They kind of mm-hmm. keep bringing in another wave of things on top right. of another wave of things after the other right. things disperse. It's like they don't actually have an end to it. It's just going to keep coming and coming and coming.
Well, it's kind
of
like...
And the question I have, though, mm-hmm. out of all of this, what redeeming qualities does Lucy have?
None.
But why are they
None.
Keeping her around? Like, why?
She's
and
the
why?
One character we couldn't figure out why she stayed.
No, but
they got
why
rid of all
do
these
they
other characters.
Give her this like importance? Like she's got some insight into something. Like, I don't understand. Like, I mean, they left her off the quarry.
We never figured out what her point is. That her character was like one of the least important characters, and yet it still stayed on the show when a bunch of others were gone.
But they made her a character that seemed to have some other.
It's
because
they're trying to justify her being there. They're trying to put something there to give her justification. But she is boring, and the actress is not good.
Agreed.
She's terrible.
I don't mind the actress so much. I just don't like her character.
I think she is terrible. She plays one thing and one thing only. She got no range.
I don't think. I mean, it's you could say the same about Sarah or
Grace.
Yeah. of a few of the characters that are kind of the side secondary characters.
Look at her. Look at Lucy. Way back when we first met Lucy, when she met what's his name and so forth, to now, her character is the same exact thing.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing. She doesn't have a whole lot of words to say. She's got a lot of conviction in stuff that we don't even necessarily understand what she's got conviction in.
Mm-hmm.
But she got a lot of conviction. But the character has never changed. It's the same thing. Way back from when she was the leader of whatever, what was the township?
Colonia.
Colonia. She's not changed. It's the same damn character.
Yep. Which I think you called colonoscopy or something like that.
Yeah, colonoscopy. Yep. Colonoscopy with the fake doctor or whatever he was.
I think Kim's ready to close it down. She looks like she's about to pass out on the table. So,
well, she is bringing a lot to the show.
Yes, she is. She comes.
Kim is
double barreled.
Kim, I want to thank you for the last 2 weeks of effort.
Yes.
We think it's been very strong.
She's been braining a lot. Braining a lot.
Stu and I do not mind carrying the podcast. If that's what you need from us.
I do.
We just expect you to be there to read the beginning.
She's going to be editing tomorrow, so that'll be good.
I have a feeling a lot of my comments are not going to be on there.
All right.
No, we love you, Kim.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Next week on Fear of the Walking Dead, Season 5, Episode 15, Channel 5. Oh, we're going radio.
Didn't we already do that one?
Yeah, we did something very similar.
Okay.
I think it was Channel 4 last time.
Maybe so.
When Virginia makes a statement, Al responds in kind. Facing dire circumstances, June leads the search for a new place to call home. Yay! With Grace's condition worsening, Morgan makes a tough call.
Uh-oh, he's going to kill her.
Mm. He's going to leave her.
For Grace?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because he didn't leave her before.
But he's going to leave her this time. He's going to have to make a tough call. Some emergency is going to come up. I think it's going to have to do with June finding a new home. And he's going to have to race to help there. And he's going to have to choose between racing to help the community, the circling wagons, or go to Grace's deathbed. And he's going to make a sad choice.
Oh, I love it.
And stick her in the eyeball with his new stick.
Yes. Right in the pooper.
Right in the pooper.
Yep. Oh, no, in the eyeball. Eyeball.
Pooper, I like that.
I know it's a long what you're stick. Talking about.
It's a Kay. Long stick.
All right, everybody. Let's wrap it.
That's dirty. He's a dirty bird.
Stuart's lame.
Okay.
Stewie.
If you'd like to write to us and let us know all of your southern colloquialisms,
there you go.
You can reach us at fearmepodcast@gmail.com. Twitter is fearmepodcast, and on Facebook, facebook.com/fearmepodcast. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Like a man with no feet kicking his own ass. Like a tailless cat getting caught in a blender. Frustrating as an armless man playing a banjo.
Stuart sucks.